Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hello and welcome to the Farm Traveler Podcast. I'm your host, Trevor Williams. Today on the show, my guest is Tyler Heeple, aka Potato Ty, a Canadian potato farmer that's taken TikTok by storm. Tyler and I will talk about his background and what led him back to the family farm, the farm's role in feeding Vancouver and Alberta, as well as its impact on the Canadian agriculture industry. We'll also talk about how some grocery stores can see upwards of 500% markups on potatoes. We'll talk about Tyler's social media strategy, including his viral painting potatoes video that's received almost 200 million views on TikTok, and what farming influencers inspire him to make content. And lastly, Tyler and I will discuss food waste issues, including the creation of his company 10 Servings that's aimed at eliminating food waste and feeding local communities. As mentioned by Tyler in the episode, we don't have a growing issue, we have a logistics issue. When the show's over, check out Ty and his 10 Servings company at the links in the description. And thanks again to our sponsor, AgCareers.com. If you're looking for a new job or even exploring career opportunities, consider checking out AgCareers.com to learn more about exciting careers in agriculture and the food industry. They also have some nifty career profiles to help job seekers learn more about the countless career opportunities available. So, please welcome to the show, Potato Ty. Well, Ty, welcome to the Farm Traveler Podcast, man. As I was prepping for this show, I think of all the guests I've had, you have had the most nicknames. There was Potato Ty, Hot Potato Farmer. It seems like the internet was smitten over you like a couple years ago when you went super viral on TikTok.
Yeah, I don't know. People get really creative with the names and they always seem to stick. I think I also got a Spud Daddy. That's Potato Daddy. That's an interesting one too. So, I mean, people are very creative and I love hearing it.
For sure. Yeah, I saw Spud Daddy. So, yeah, tell us about it. You're a potato farmer in Canada. Like, how did you go down that path?
Yeah, so I grew up on the potato farm here in Surrey, British Columbia. The farm has been in our family for 103 years, but growing up, we were just, I mean, I don't know if it's politically correct, but slave labor. Like, we were doing all of the hard jobs. It was not fun. We did not look forward to Saturdays and after school. So when I graduated high school, I got a job and I said I'd never come back to the farm again. And after 10 years, I decided, you know, a few things happened and I decided to give farming one last chance. And so I've been back now for about a year and a half. And I really now like being on the other side of things where I'm actually involved in the business and making managerial decisions and planning. And I can see the bigger picture now. Now I really love farming.
That's cool. So like with your parents, was the pressure there, like, we want you to work on the farm for forever? Or did they kind of give you that option to go off and do your own thing?
No, they, like, their parents had a rule with the farm, or I guess my grandparents, that my dad had to go off for 2 years and go do something else. And then if he wanted to come back, he could. So they kind of had the same rule with us, but they never had to enforce it because all three of us brothers were just gone right after high school. And now I'm the only son back in the business. But no, there was no pressure. And I think that's a big reason why I came back, was it was because, you know, it was like, if you want, you can. If not, we're selling it. And it's like, shoot, that's 100 years of history. Big decision, right?
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure there. The more I talk with farmers and ranchers, like, usually if the parents, if it's like a 2 or 3 generation farm, if the parents give their kids the option to come back, they of course go off, but then they eventually come back. So it's funny how that kind of works.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of history. It's a lot of family value. And I think living with the regret of not giving it a proper chance would have probably ended up killing me. So I'm super happy I came back because I definitely found my passion in feeding people.
So let's do like a little quick rundown of potatoes in Canada. I know here in the US, when you think of potatoes, you think of Idaho, and that's pretty much it. Like, your region in Canada, is that really the only place where potatoes are grown? Like, what's the whole Canadian potato breakdown?
Yeah, that's a super great question. So I'm in British Columbia, so we're right up Washington, you know, where Seattle is. And our market is fairly niche. So we are actually the smallest potato growers out of basically all the other provinces. So the largest would be like Ontario and Manitoba. And then we'd probably be like the sixth largest. But our market's the most coveted because we feed Vancouver. So prices are always the highest here. I mean, it's the most expensive place to farm basically in the world. But we have the Vancouver market right next to us, and they do pay good money for fresh local produce. So it's very interesting because here in BC, like, we only grow table potatoes. So it's basically 95% is fresh potatoes, and maybe like 5% goes to making pierogies or fries. But we supply a lot of Alberta with our potatoes because a lot of the potatoes in Alberta are grown for like Wendy's or McDonald's, and they're used for fry.
Okay. Now, why is it so expensive to grow potatoes up there?
It's because we have some of the most expensive land prices. So per acre, it's around $140,000 an acre of land, which is some of the most expensive farmland for sure in the world. And that's just because of how beautiful BC is. Everyone wants to move here. We had 500,000 people immigrate here. In the last year. And then also we're just locked in by the ocean, the mountains, and the border. So, you know, there's no new farmland coming up. And we do have a big issue with farmland getting developed here. So some of our best farmland keeps getting developed. You know, every year you're seeing some productive piece of farmland go to make industrial buildings. And so you just can't compete with that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm down here in Florida. And the biggest thing we have like that is development. Like, we're like, agriculture is like number two in the state in terms of the economy. But of course, tourism is number one. And so we're always building more high rises, golf courses, another Margaritaville, or expanding the villages. So like, our farmland is going down, but our, like, people keep coming here. And so it's like, you know, like, what do? Like, we got two competing industries. But so, yeah, I've seen a bunch of your potato videos on TikTok, on Instagram. The most recent one I saw was one of you saying, hey, here we are painting our potatoes red. Here's why we do it. Your videos are awesome, super entertaining. Like, where was the inspiration for all of that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I, like, when I started posting on TikTok about a year and a bit ago, I was following two guys that I really liked. One of them was, his name was Gatlin. He's a farmer out in Idaho or something, somewhere around there, Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And he's all entertainment. Like, there is no education aspect of what a farming life is, but it's just all entertainment. And I really like that. And then there was another guy who was big on TikTok and LinkedIn, and his name was Shay Mitchell. And he was all education. There was no entertainment. It was just like, this is how farms work. This is why we're doing this. And so those are my two role models kind of when I first started. You know, they had 1.9 million followers and 400,000 followers. And I just thought they were like the coolest guys ever. So I, like, my inspiration was I wanted to find a good middle ground there where I could entertain people so that they would want to watch more, but also educate them. So they come out of it with more value and understanding of what it's like to be a farmer. And I say this all the time, but the good, the bad, and the beautiful parts of farming. Because we're just in this very unique position here in North America where I think the stat is 40% of farmers are going to be retiring in the next like 15 years. Mm. Like, the average age of the farmer is in close to the 60s. And we don't have a lot of young farmers coming into this space. So if we do want to protect, you know, our food source, I think it's really important to be encouraging the younger generation to come into farming.
Yeah. And you and people like Gatlin and all the other social media farmers you're going exactly to where the consumers are, like where that younger generation is, and showing them like, hey, you could do a lot in agriculture. And I really like Gatlin and Granny. They're super popular. I've been trying to get them on the show. I think they would be super fun. But yeah, like, they're very, you've got people that are either super educational or super entertaining. And then you've got people that maybe they do a little bit of both, but yeah, your videos are super good. And talking about that potato video, I love sarcasm. So like, what went into the video where you're like, yeah, we're painting the potatoes red and all that stuff? Like, was there a lot of pushback and where people are like, oh, like, no, is he really painting the potatoes red or not? Or what's going on?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why that video went so viral is because the outrageous comments, and the comment section was just a bloodbath. So many people were, one, upset that, that this would be happening and that they'd be eating red paint. Many people were just making fun of the people that believed it. And yeah, the comment section was like the most entertaining part for sure. The most entertaining video just because of the comments. Like it was insane. But yeah, a lot of people don't understand sarcasm and a lot of people just believe what they see on the internet. And I tend to poke fun at them. It's kind of like an inside joke between my, you know, me and my community. Mm-hmm. I had the same one with the marshmallow video. It was like hay bales that was wrapped, but it looked kind of like marshmallows. Yep. And I said, you know, all you city folks, these are marshmallows and this is how we harvest our marshmallows. And a lot of people believe that, which is crazy. Kind of goes to show people don't know where the food comes from. So yeah, I like being a little controversial, sarcastic in the content I make.
Yeah. I love those, like around, Halloween when, you know, like the hay bales are like wrapped up and they're like, oh yeah, these are like some free range marshmallows that we have. I love that video. And okay. So I don't know if this was the same video you used, but you also had a video months ago that was like, you won't believe how dirty potatoes are. So was that the same video you used? Because I love it when, you know, like you can reuse videos and just kind of market them differently. So was that the same video or no?
It was a different video.
Okay.
It led to that one. So somebody commented something and they spelt red potatoes wrong. And I like replied back with a video on that. And that was the one that went super viral.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was the same thing. It was basically like some red potatoes we harvested were really dirty, like the most dirty potatoes I'd ever seen. And so we were having to rinse it with a hose before. And it just looked like we were painting them because the dirt was falling off and there was like bright, beautiful red that was showing up. So it mm-hmm. looked like potatoes were going from brown to red, which they were, but it was by water, not by paint.
Yeah, that video was funny. I was looking at the comments on it and some of the top comments were like, wait till I tell you where potatoes are grown. And then they're like, wait till you learn where like vegetables and all the other produce are grown. Like that was super funny. Some people were like, you know, trolling, obviously, like, oh, that dirt looks really good. Like they should just leave it on the potatoes. But yeah, that was super funny. Like, I mean, do you try to like plan out your content or do you just kind of like, I don't know, just trying to see what happens, what works and what doesn't?
Yeah, I don't plan out my content. I like, I sometimes post a goal. I want to post this many times a week and I'll write out some TikToks or videos I want to do. But at the end of the day, it's like very organic. Like, oh, this just happened. There was a breakdown. This could be an interesting video or like this could be a really cool lesson to show people. Like even that red potato video, I was running out for the weekend. I was going on like a men's retreat and I had to slap together a video because I said I was going to post like five times that week. And I ended up editing this, like those red potatoes that I'd filmed like 3 days prior. And then I went out of service and I was out of service for the weekend and I come back and it has like 10 million views in
Heck
like
yeah.
3 days. And I'm like, what? Why was this so viral? Just not expecting anything.
It's so funny how, you know, anything will go viral. And like, do you have a preference on what you post on like TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or YouTube? Like what's your, I guess maybe like what's your go-to and what do you see the most traction on?
Yeah. So I like originally just started on TikTok and I was only posting there because I knew I was trying to get like the word out on some farmland that we were trying to save from being developed. And so I knew that TikTok had that viral potential, even if you had five followers, right? Where you could never do that on YouTube. And that's exactly what happened. I had like next to no followers and one of my videos took off. And then I was posting quite a bit from that. We were able to get like 80,000 signatures on a petition.
The
farmland. And then all of a sudden I had like, I don't know, a decent amount of followers. And I was like, well, now I kind of got to entertain these people. So they're making daily content. But I only started posting on Instagram like, 9 months ago, maybe less than that. Mm-hmm. So that's really taken off. And then now I'm starting to get into YouTube and going to be putting out longer form content there, because I feel like that's where really the best education value can happen, is more the explaining of, you know, this is how we plant potatoes and harvest. And you necessarily can't really do that in a minute long video.
That's true. Yeah. I follow Zach Johnson, the millennial farmer, on YouTube. And it's funny, he's got like very short clips on Facebook or Instagram, but then like his YouTube channel, he's got like 30-minute long videos that have super high engagement. And he's showing people, you know, how he fixes a combine, like how exactly they do their planting. And that's a great point. Like, I feel like other social media channels like TikTok, Instagram, Facebook are like for, you know, I don't know, the quick educational or the quick entertainment. But like long form, YouTube is perfect for that long story of like, you know, here's how we grow potatoes. Like, what are you looking forward to sharing anything on YouTube, like long format on like hows and whys of what you do?
I think it's just a good way for people to get to know me better. Like, yeah. you can kind of show off your humor a little bit and who you are in the 1 minute videos. But I think when you're putting out 15 or 20 minute videos, like people can really get to know who Potato Ty is. And, you know, I can really more explain my passion on trying to reduce food waste and mm-hmm. trying to protect farmland and trying to educate the next generation. You can only really articulate that so well in the short content, especially on TikTok, where it, you know, people have a 3 second attention span and the next, you know, viral video is just one little scroll up. Right. So in yep. long form, you know, people can really understand what farming is like and get a better picture of it. And that's what I'm really looking forward to. So I'm trying to build up the YouTube subscribers right now.
There you go. Yeah, that's such a good point. I mean, I feel like YouTube's more forgiving and, you know, you have more than just 3 seconds to capture their attention. Like, it's still important, but I mean, like, it's not like they're just like, if you're watching a YouTube video, it's harder to get removed from that video. But then again, I mean, for example, I've been posting a lot of YouTube shorts and they get a lot of traction. Like, one will get 20,000 plays, but then another will get 20. So it just kind of depends. Like, the content's always weird, but I don't know. The algorithm's always changing. But yeah, and I'm glad you brought it up. Like, you're passionate about reducing food waste. You've started this awesome company that also has some really good looking merch, by the way. Like, the merch looks really cool. So tell us about that passion project you have about reducing food waste.
Yeah. So one of the first things I noticed when I came back to the farm was like how much food waste there was. Mm-hmm. And I want to clarify, by food waste, I mean potatoes that we can't sell to the store and we have to sell for cow feed. So it's not necessarily a full waste, but I truly believe that its highest, you know, potential is feeding humans. So every year we toss away around 1.5 million pounds of potatoes, basically just because of their cosmetic looks. Mm-hmm. So that really drove me crazy. And, you know, we would try to donate as much as we could to the food banks, but these potatoes, they have to be graded over a few more times, and it takes a lot more labor than it's actually even worth donating it to the food bank, or even really, you know, trying to salvage it for cow feed. So I created a company called 10 Servings, and basically we sell potato merchandise, and the proceeds from the shirt and hat and hoodie sales go towards us rescuing these ugly potatoes and donating them to the food banks. And then also we pay the farmer number one pricing for these number two potatoes, because right now, like, the farm debt is rampant right now across North America. Like, the small family farms are really hurting and struggling with debt. So we're trying to, you know, feed our food banks, reduce on-farm food waste, and at the end of the day, help our farmers out. So that's the company that I started about 2.5 months ago. And it's been going really good. Got great feedback from it, and hoping to expand it and get in a few stores here in Canada.
That's awesome. Yeah, are y'all starting out right now in British Columbia and then kind of expanding outward?
Yeah, well, right now it's just internet sales. Okay. And the majority of my followers are actually in the United States. So okay. That's where most of the sales have been, just through my website on there. But it is really cool to see people from like Australia or Germany, United Kingdom, you know, ordering. So it's just kind of cool. It's gotten a really good positive feedback. We were able to donate our first round to the food bank. So we supplied them all their potatoes that they'll need for a week, and they feed, I think, over 550 families a week. So that felt pretty cool. And then from that, we've been able also to do these ugly potato days on our farm, which have a bigger impact.
Yeah, I saw you guys did one a couple of weeks ago. Like, how was that? I mean, was that the first one or no?
No, we've done 12. So that
Nice. Okay.
Our 12th one. So for everyone listening, it's basically a day where we put out our number two potatoes that we can't sell because of their looks, and our community can come and grab them for absolutely free. And then we just ask that if they are able to, they can donate, and that all goes 100% of those donations go to the food bank. And you know, we started it, we had 12 people come out.
Mm-hmm.
So you're sitting there for 4 hours and 12, it's like pouring rain. You're like, what are we doing?
That's rough. Yeah.
It's hard. And then we're like, hey, we keep doing it, got it up to 200 and then 800. And then now we're consistently between 3,000 and 4,000 people coming out, per event. And we're able to give away about 40,000 pounds of, ugly vegetables each time. So it's grown into like a pretty popular community event around our farm.
That's phenomenal. And I love the idea that you had about, you know, starting merch, not just because I'm sure you could pocket a lot of money on the merch because of your big following on TikTok and on social media, but you use the merch to drive the donating to food banks and helping farmers, you know, send that money or send that food somewhere else. Like, that's such a great idea to use your following to help drive change in this area. I think that's really cool. And I feel like most people, when they have a community, they're like, hey, I want to pocket this money somehow. Like, whether it's, you know, be like an independent creator or something. So it's cool that you came up with this merch idea to like, hey, let's help decrease food waste.
Yeah, thanks. And like the company's name is 10 Servings. So the idea is to get it down to like every item sold is 10 servings of potatoes. But lately we've been doing pretty good. We've been able to give out closer to about 20 servings per hat or shirt bought. So that's been really cool. And a lot of people have been supporting too with just donating to the meal plan to help us partner with these food banks and yeah, help them. Or my goal is one day to be able to provide food banks all across North America with their potatoes. You know, if you take Canada, we're able to produce 51 million, we're able to feed 51 million people a year with what we produce. And our population is only 38 million, but yet 7 million people go to bed hungry every night. So like, we don't have an issue growing food. We have like a logistics issue. And it seems to be that bottom 20% of people aren't getting the food. So my goal is to keep growing this narrative and keep talking about it and be the one to solve this problem and feed the bottom 20%.
I really want to put what you just said on a shirt, and maybe you can do it. We don't have a growing issue. We have a logistics issue. Like, that is, I've been trying to tell people that for such a long time. Like, we're growing enough food. Mm-hmm. It's that we have a problem getting that to everybody, and we're wasting so much food. And I mean, especially we hear this all the time, like in ag, by 2050, we're going to have 9 billion people on this planet to feed. And so the problem is we got to get a lot more efficient in how we're delivering that food. And people like you guys and 10 Servings are really helping answer that.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, I think there's another issue too that we need to address. And my grandpa's always said this, but here in North America, we are the pickiest in the whole world. In the whole world. Like, we eat with our eyes when we go to the supermarket. Like, our potatoes, they need to have the perfect shine and, you know, show our reflection. And it is actually ridiculous. Like, if you saw some of the stuff that goes for cow feed, it has a little nick in it, or it's just the wrong sizing, or like, it's perfectly fine, but we can't sell it. And a big issue and I'm going to speak a little bit more specifically here in Canada, is our grocery stores are, you know, there's only a few of them, a few owners, and they mark our prices up an insane amount. Like the other day, we sold some russet potatoes for 50 cents a pound. I go to the store and I see it being sold for $2.50 a pound. It's a 500% markup. No wonder like people want potatoes to look pretty. They're paying like $8 for three potatoes. It's ridiculous how much of a markup there is on our food. So when people ask me like, whose fault is this? Is it like the consumer's fault that they want perfect potatoes or perfect vegetables, or is it the retailer's fault? Well, yeah, it might be the retailers or the consumers that are complaining, but it's the retailers that are marking up our product so much to the point where, yeah, you do expect your potato to look like frickin' Brad Pitt, you know?
Yeah.
Like I don't blame them. And it is actually ridiculous. So like we need a change here. And I don't think I can run a farm and start a grocery store. So we need someone to step it up.
There you go. Yeah. Like, I mean, not to get like political or anything, but what do you think can be done to decrease that 500% markup? I mean, that's wild. I need to do some digging to see what it is like normally here in the US, but that's crazy.
Yeah, it is pretty wild. Like I will say that some stores like the Costco model is a good one, mm-hmm. where Costco, you know, only marks it up. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like 30% or something like that, or maybe a bit more than that. But it's just hard because with Costco, it's such big bulk. We almost need we need a not-for-profit grocery store. That's mm-hmm. just what we need. And like a grocery store that doesn't try to maximize profit, that will just take enough to cover the shrink rate and pay salary. I think that would be the best answer, is just have a not-for-profit start a grocery store.
That would be a good solution, but it's like, you know, I mean, hopefully people would do that, but is it going to be government ran? I mean, that would be good, but I feel like that'd be a whole other, like, I don't know, maybe another Pandora's box. I don't know, but yeah, hopefully that could work it one day.
I think it will. I think you just need a really big, a big thinker to come in there, and someone mm-hmm. that has goals and not able to take no for an answer. But I think something like that could be done and could be done really well and really successfully.
That'd be nice, especially across all of North America. How do you think we got kind of obsessed with having perfect produce? Because I mean, a great example is like a tomato, perfectly round, no blemishes, nothing. But usually like those perfectly round tomatoes don't taste as amazing as like a heritage tomato that's going to have bumps and bruises and look imperfect. Like, how do you think we got so obsessed with perfect looking produce anytime we go to the grocery store?
Well, I think a large part of it is just based on the price of it. Like I said before, like if you're paying, you know, $2 a pound for a potato, you want it to look decent and you want it to be able to store a long time, which is fair. So I don't know where the other part of that comes from, but I do know that the more people I talk to who have started gardening and who's tried growing their own food have a better appreciation for perfect looking food, because they know how hard it is to grow. You know, like one little rock can make your carrot grow sideways, or you know, not having soft enough soil can affect the shape of the vegetable. And so like I always encourage people to try growing your own food. Like try having a garden. If you don't have the property of a garden, grow some potatoes in a garbage can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, grow it. And I promise you, like there is no better feeling growing your own food and being self-sustained. You'll have a new appreciation for vegetables, and you'll have a new appreciation for the way they look. Like if, you know, if you get a perfect looking vegetable, you're stoked, because that hardly ever happens.
Oh yeah, no, that's so true. I tried growing tomatoes and I didn't know how hard it is to grow tomatoes here in Florida because it gets so hot and humid. And every tomato right before it got ripe, it would bust at the top and then be ruined. I was like, well, dang it. And then another time I grew basil, because I wanted to make like some dried basil. And I was like, oh, this would be great. So I had two huge basil plants, took the leaves off, put them in the oven to dehydrate them, crushed them up. I had a mason jar. It made like the tiniest amount of dried basil. And I was like, oh my God, like this is so much work for such a tiny amount of basil. No wonder, I mean, like geez, like, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to support those hardworking farmers they're doing, and like, kudos to them. Like, they're producing a lot of basil and they're working a lot harder than I am.
I know. And I think too, like, it's a good activity for your mind. Like, I feel like right now, even I'm on social media way too much. I have way too much screen time, you know, in my life. And I have a friend, he runs an account called Mind and Soil, Soil and Mind. And it's all about how gardening is just really good for your mental health. And it is really true. Like, when you can work with your hands and be in Mother Nature and not on technology, like, there is this recharging aspect to your mind and to who you are. And I think nowadays, with how much anxiety people have, I think just being out in nature and trying to grow your own food is like one of the best antidotes to having high anxiety and being stressed out.
I like that. And I'm sure it's tricky. Like, I'm kind of the same as you. Like, I'm trying to build a brand on social media. So I'm like, I feel like I need to be on social media a lot. But then I'm like, no, I need to take a break from it. And so you have, you're like, I don't know, you're struggling because you're like, I need to get off of it. I need to get on. Like, I don't know. How do I juggle both of those things?
I know. Yeah, it is a very fine balance where you're like, well, this is kind of like my career thing and like my passion. But then all of a sudden you're sucked in and you look at your screen time and you're like, I've been on my phone today for 4.5 hours.
Yeah. Yes. 4 hours of that was on TikTok and 30 minutes was messaging people. It's like, that's a struggle. Yeah. And I'm not a hippie by any means. But when I go outside, I hear people, you know, when they're like, whenever you go outside and you do yard work, you should ground yourself, like, you know, walk around barefooted. And I like to do that. And I'm like, whenever I talk about it, I'm like, I sound kind of like a hippie, but, you know, I think it's kind of cool. Like, maybe everybody should give it a try. Like, maybe there is something to it.
I think there probably is something to it. I never really feel different, but I always,
yeah,
you know, I do the same thing too. If I'm outside, I'll take my shoes off and have my bare feet touch the grass. I don't. Yeah.
Maybe it's like the placebo effect, but yeah, I don't know. Like, it feels different kind of, but I don't know. I mean, I feel people like Epic Gardening, he talks about that a little bit. He's got a really good channel and I've been seeing him. I forget his name, but he honestly has been getting a lot of traction from like creators examining how other creators make money online. And he's been sharing about like how he's so profitable building all these courses, teaching people how to do gardening and how, kind of like post COVID, it exploded and people are getting out more and gardening more. So I was like, heck yeah. And I feel like gardening is, you know, the next step to being a farmer, maybe like you're your own farmer. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I was on his podcast like 2 months ago and got a staff of like 60 people.
Yeah. I learned that about, which is wild.
Yeah. He kills it because he has like, he gets 20 million views a month just on his newsletter.
No way. Okay.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he's got it down pat. Like, I have a lot of respect for Kevin. He's doing it right, and he's like affecting a lot of people's lives. Like, you're so right. Like, once COVID happened, people needed that break to get outside, and you just saw gardening explode. And he was one of the channels that were there and received the benefit of that and the lion's share of followers. And good for him. He's crushing it.
Yeah, and he's also been, I've been noticing, sharing the wealth a little bit by having other creators on his YouTube or Instagram. Like, he's been sharing a lot of them so that they get more traction and stuff and they can go independent. So I thought that was really cool. And I think he even mentioned it in a podcast he was on. He's like, you know, everybody's trying to pay their dues. And like, when you get to that point, when you're very successful, it's like up to you to share that, you know, reaching the summit and sharing it with other people. So I thought that I feel like that's very refreshing because you don't hear that a lot from a lot of people that kind of like, I guess, quote unquote, make it online.
Yeah, that is very interesting because I remember when I was first starting out, like reaching out to a few people and not getting any response.
Yeah.
Or like, quite a few people, like just to ask, like, hey, how are you editing your videos? Like, I'm so new to this and not getting any responses. But now being on the other end of that, it's like you get so many messages. A day, it's super hard to cipher through. Like, even the DMs I get, I don't even read half of them because I can't. Like, it's just a mental thing, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, how do you manage that mentally? Like you said, you step away for a retreat for the weekend, and then you come back and your videos got 10 million views, and I'm sure you have like 200,000 messages, so many more followers and so many questions. You're like, how do I juggle all this?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely comes in waves. I think sometimes I'm just over and I won't like open a message for like a week, and then I'll batch it and spend like an hour and a half just at least opening and seeing if there's like anything I can just add quick value to. But it's all about like mental health at the end of the day, and like balancing that and like realizing that, because we have so many people reaching out to us, especially after we do an Ugly Potato Day. We have like at least two agencies a day reaching out to us for a week or two. So we have, call it 20 requests in my our area for us to be providing free potatoes for like this organization and that organization. And like, you can't say no, or you can't say yes to everyone. And that's something I'm learning, because like I like saying yes to people. I really like helping people out. But at the end of the day too, you have to like balance what's best for like your mental health and also your business too. Like, you just can't be giving out free potatoes to every organization that has a good cause, right? So it's kind of just like a balance. And when I feel like I'm getting close to that edge, I'll just like shut down and like not check any messages for like a week or two, which might be bad, but like that's going to help me maintain longevity.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, you've got to, at some point, you've got to do what's best for you. And it's like you're not Superman. You can't go 24/7, 365. Like, you've got to do what's best for you. And you're doing like an awesome job doing it. I mean, like, you're a really big personality online. And I mean, like, honestly, I reached out to you, heard back within like a couple hours, and I was like, oh dang. Because like we were saying earlier, like, sometimes I'll message out people that have like a larger audience, don't hear back. But yeah, that, I feel like you're doing a good job of it. I feel like there's no perfect way to do it, but it sounds like you've got like a good healthy grasp on it, to where you're educating people, trying to help like feed people and change lives, but you know, not getting sucked into social media as some people do.
Totally. And it's easy. It's I think it happens to me too. But yeah, thanks, Trevor. I appreciate that. How long have you been on your social media or podcasting journey for?
I've been doing, so I started the blog in 2018, and I think I started the podcast like, I think 2019 about then. So I've been doing it since then. It's been like Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. I've gotten slowly off of Facebook a little bit because the traction's very down, but I'll really do like, I kind of focus on Instagram and YouTube. Well, and the podcast too. And so those have been fun. We got our first YouTube ad revenue 2 weeks ago, and it was $120. So we got to like 1,600 subscribers. And honestly, I think most of that revenue was from my interview with Joel Salatin. Because that one, I uploaded the whole interview, and that one got so much traction. I think it's like 20,000 views right now. So I think like 90% of our revenue is from that one video. But yeah, it's been fun. I've talked with so many people all across like North America, Australia, the UK. So it's been fun. It's had its ups and downs, but it's been really, really rewarding so far.
That's awesome. Yeah, good for you. I love hearing that progression. I know like YouTube money can be pretty life-changing.
yeah for sure. I mean, I looked at it because you've got to have 1,000 subscribers, and then I think like something like over 10,000 hours of watch time. And then we got to it, I was like, oh, this is cool, $120, all right, not bad. So we'll see what the next check is. But it was weird, like, it took us years to get to 1,000 subs, and I think we hit that in April of this year, and then within like 3 months we got like 500 subscribers. So it's weird how once you hit that threshold, you just kind of like skyrocket from there. So we'll see. Maybe we'll hit 2,000 subscribers before the end of this year. You never know.
That's awesome. I mean, everything compounds.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Right. Like it. And I wish TikTok and Instagram paid out. I did a video the other day where I handed out potatoes at Halloween. and it was a bit longer. It was like a minute and a half on TikTok. And it got over 7 million views. And I looked at the watch time, and the watch time was 34,000 hours.
Oh my God.
It's like, holy, like if this was on YouTube, I'd be like ordering another tractor, you know?
Oh yeah. That's wild. That's I got to ask, what were the reactions to handing out potatoes for Halloween?
Oh, they were so great. The kids loved it. I did that last year at my brother's house, because he lives more in a cul-de-sac where there's a bunch of kids, and recognized us. Kids came to us and were like, hey, you're the house that gave out potatoes. And
no,
like,
way.
Potatoes again. But it's like definitely the age bracket. Like if the kids were from like 8 to like 13, they're grabbing a potato. If they're under 8, they don't touch the potato.
That's so funny. Yeah, they're like, I don't want this potato. And if they're above 13, they're like, no, I want some candy. But yeah. That's funny. That's a good age range. They're like, oh my God, a potato. That reminds me of that viral video. I think like maybe 15 years ago, this kid got an avocado for Christmas. He was like, oh my God, an avocado. And everybody's laughing because he's so innocent, but he's so excited to get it for Christmas.
Yeah, I tried doing that this year with my little nephew. He was 2 years old or 2.5, and he opened a potato, and he could care less. I'm like, okay, not getting the viral video here, but it was
That's funny. I've heard, at least, I don't know about in Canada, but here in the U.S., you can legally mail a potato, put postage on it and everything, and it's totally normal. Can you do that in Canada?
I think you can, because there's a company called Postato. I think they write messages on it and they send it. And I know they make, they do like over 100,000, I think, a month or something like that. Like it's
no insane. Way.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Potato. I'm going to have to look that up. That's super funny. Well, Ty, this has been super fun. Great to chat with you. I think what you're doing with Ugly Potato Day with 10 servings, the hat is awesome. I really like that. I just got this hat in the mail from, it says Support Florida Agriculture. So I'm trying to get like all the agriculture hats. So I'm gonna have to order your hat very soon and support all those food banks. But what you're doing is awesome. If people want to follow you, if they want to learn more about 10 servings, where all can they go?
Yeah, Potato Ty, T-Y, on everything, on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Facebook, I don't have an account yet. I got someone scamming me. So if you see me on Facebook, that's not me.
Report it.
Of course. but yeah, and then also 10 servings on Instagram if you want to learn more about our mission to rescue on-farm food waste.
Well, awesome. Well, I'll be sure to link all that stuff in the description. But thanks so much, Potato Ty. Great chatting with you, and best of luck with everything.
Awesome. Thanks, Trevor.
Thanks again for listening to this episode, and thanks to Ty for coming on and telling us about 10 servings, fun facts about potatoes, and, of course, you know, how to make some cool viral videos. If you're new to the show, consider subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, our YouTube channel. Basically, wherever you're at is where we're at. And, of course, to see more content, check out thefarmtraveler.com. So, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.